Take a drink now, Rosh.
This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
JP Angry Chat here to provide you with a public service announcement regarding last week's episode of The Payload.
What's that?
Last week, our team provided inaccurate information about Orisa's fortify ability.
Who is Orisa?
Little did we know that this piece of misinformation would lead to a catastrophic event that would turn the world as we know it on its head.
Taco Bell serves breakfast now.
Jimmy can't read patch notes without crying. John is afraid of bubblegum, and Rosh hasn't had a four-man res in nearly 6 days.
Ooh, that's bad.
Our listeners have come to trust the information that comes from the payload and will often use that information to troll others in team chat.
Get good, Scrub.
I'm sorry to say we let you down.
That's an overstatement.
We'll never be able to live with ourselves again.
You're overreacting.
We're sorry.
Why are we doing this?
Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Finally.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 63 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com from Denver, Colorado. I am John Horstman. With me is the crew. It's actually April 6th today, which is the first show in April. So hey, we made it. Anyways, welcome to the show. Thank you for listening to our public service announcement. And cool. Well, let's go ahead and get into the show. Hey, first let's head on over to, where do we usually go for? Nowheresville, California. And it's Rosh.
How many
hey, Rosh.
Times does she have to tell you?
I don't know.
It's okay. Everybody that it's important knows where I am. And I've been watching this stream because I kind of half expected it to start and then to you have had green screen somehow the effect on my shirt. And then it had just been my floating head. So I kind of expected you to not say anything and just let it go live to see how long I notice. But thankfully, it's not. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. I feel like this week has gone by really fast. I feel like we were just here joking last week about all of the news. So I'm excited to be here today, excited to talk to you guys, and excited to go over the upcoming stuff that we have for the podcast.
Yes, it's going to be a fun show. I'm really excited for this week's episode because we got some really, really cool new stuff to talk about. Before we do that, let's go to Camarillo, California with our very own Jiminy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Ahoy, boys. No, I don't know.
Ahoy, boys.
Okay. Okay. You can't do the esports news in that voice this week.
Esports news.
Yeah, that's gonna be our new intro.
Oh my gosh. Oh, but yeah, it's always good to be on the payload and talking about Overwatch, our favorite game. And I'm excited to dig into the news this week because there's a lot of cool stuff to talk about, and I'm excited for it. And Thursday is the highlight of my Thursday every week.
Nice. Well, hey, I mean, we've got a really incredible show for you this week. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, as I've already said it at least twice now. Before we do, we've got one last thing that's kind of housekeeping here. And that is with one of our partners, Legion by Lenovo. Legion by Lenovo has been very, very gracious to give BlizzPro one of their precision mice, mechanical keyboards, headset, and a $20 battle.net gift card. to give away. There's 15 days left in the giveaway. All you have to do is follow BlizzPro and Legion by Lenovo. There's a link in the chat. It'll also be in the show notes. You can follow it right there to enter. You've got 8 different ways to enter. So pretty neat. And then you also get to get connected. Wow. That's a sentence and a half with BlizzPro and Lenovo, which is also really awesome. And I must say, the reviews, especially on the headset and the mice, are really good. Especially if you're not like, I want to spend $100 on a mouse. Lenovo's got awesome stuff. And we're very, very happy to be working with them and bringing you this content with them. So head on over to that link. So cool. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about our weeks in Overwatch. Rosh, you're up first. What have you been up to this week?
My week has been full of ranked, and more ranked, and a little bit of tears, because this week I have been kind of going a little try hard on my Smurf and my main account. And I actually hit a new SR record of 39.95.
Nice. So close.
So close. Which we'll talk about Mercy kind of and supports, but more mainly Mercy kind of getting a little screwed over on point gain and how that I potentially could have had Grandmasters if they weren't, but we'll get into that later. But I was just so close to getting Grandmasters, and just watching the points go up that close was just so heart-wrenching and so demoralizing. And then the next match that I played as soon as I hit 39.95 was a King of the Hill, and it went to round 5, where we almost won round 5 and then lost. So it's such a bittersweet feeling being so close. So I actually updated my Twitter to show just a daily reminder that I'm 5 points short of Grandmasters because of how bitter I was. But other than that, it's been a good week of Overwatch. I've hit highs on all of my accounts, so that's pretty cool. And I'm finally putting in the time and effort that I've wanted to put into the Overwatch for the past couple of months now. And I feel confident that we will be able to hit Grandmasters at some point this coming week. So next show, I should be able to announce that I'm a Grandmaster player, finally.
You better. Please?
I will. Please?
That was...
Please?
Then we can say we have a Grandmaster on this show. I'm just saying. I know Jimmy and I have been pretty close to GM, but we haven't been able to get over that hump. But it's good to see you kind of catch up to us in that skill level and, you know, basically overtake. So good for you. Jimmy, what have you been up to this week in Overwatch, man?
I've been playing competitive as well, and I've been playing with some friends of the show, and we got up to 1700. So I'm feeling pretty happy about that. I'm making progress at least now. Getting myself out of the ELO hell as it is that I was in. But we'll see going forward if I'm able to carry that going forward. I've been mostly playing supports, mostly Mercy, because Far Mercy is just so strong now.
Yeah, it really is.
It's just so good.
It's one of the things that I like about this this season is that the meta seems to be as versatile as it's been since season 1 when the game first came out. You can run dive comps on attack and defense. You can run McCree's because Fire Mercy is such a thing. You can run Mercy. I mean, you haven't been able to say that you've been able to competitively run Mercy in a long time. So the fact that so many characters are back into the meta and feasible and workable is insane. So I'm really enjoying it.
Nice. As for me, I've actually almost got the old quote unquote main up to platinum. So I'm less than 60 points away now. So I should be able to push through that the next couple days. I've been getting a lot better. I've been streaming a lot. If any of you follow me, you know, kind of where I've been streaming at. And so that's been, you know, a lot of fun for me. I probably played a total of like 30 hours last week, which was nice. And then played some Hearthstone, got some Hearthstone in there as well. So that was kind of nice. So cool. It's been a week, but we even have more news to talk about over on the other side of the sounder. Otherwise,
this week in Overwatch.
Rosh, you can facepalm all you want, but until you, like, I'll set you up. We'll let you do this.
No, it's okay.
Thanks to our MVPs, Adam B., J.A., Carell, Tommy H., and Liam O. for their support of the show. And to all of our patrons, if you like the Payload and you want to support it, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. And now we've got some bigger news. First, Overwatch wins best multiplayer game at the BAFTA Awards. Hey. So, hey, very, very well done to the Overwatch team, who is, they're absolutely sweeping in multiplayer, like absolutely sweeping. And they generally do really well in Game of the Year stuff as well. They're always kind of in that top two or three. So kudos to them. Jeff had a great minute-long speech. It'll be in the show notes for you as well. So you can check that out. Nothing too surprising there. Just kind of saying, hey, you can make awesome games, even if they're just multiplayer only. I thought that was pretty neat. But we should probably talk about the actual big news this week. And that's that we got a new Overwatch comic, Uprising. So, Jimmy, do you want to take us through this here about the new comic and kind of what's going on there?
I can try to. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot.
It's a really cool comic. I will say, I say this with, I think, every comic that they've put out now, go check out the Mediafire version of it, because it's just so much better with sound and the panels being isolated. But
can I say something?
Okay, sorry.
The only thing I want to say is I'm normally not the animated comic guy. Like, I've gotten along without all of them before this one. This is one that I would not miss animated. This is one that it was so well done and so cool. So definitely, even if you're like, I don't need to, go back and check it again, because I think it goes past and beyond the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even as a second read through, I think it would be worth going through again. But anyways, spoiler material ahead. So if you haven't read it,
beep, 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 beep.
Mute for the next few minutes. Basically, McCree, who's currently in Black Ops, is in London during the Omnic Crisis, specifically the King's Row Uprising, which we've seen before in various cinematics and kind of hinted at through the game in what seems to be a late Overwatch era. So McCree still has his arm, Ana still has her eye, etc. And Genji is still in the process of being remade. So this is the first time I think we've seen Genji like
out of
like human form a little bit. Yeah, so that was really interesting to see. Tracer is also training from her accident to go into active duty. This actually digs a little bit back into her story and relating her to Soldier 76, Jack Morrison. And Jack Morrison is fighting the law, basically, kind of disobeying orders from on high on trying to just do what's right for the Overwatch team. And after a lot of deliberation in the comic, he overrides the law and sends Overwatch in, which consists of Torbjorn, Reinhardt, Mercy, Tracer, and Winston, all in their Overwatch regalia into the UK, which we presume is the King's Row scenario.
Yeah, it's the King's Row Uprising, right? So that's where they're going.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. The comic was really strong. I felt like it crammed a lot of content in there and really showed us a side of the Overwatch team that we hadn't seen before. And I really liked all the Tracer stuff, because she really sold her case on wanting to be in the field to Jack Morrison, Soldier 76, before he would let her be a part of the Overwatch team. And it was really interesting to see her convince him of letting her be a part of that.
Yeah. Rosh, what did you think about the comic?
I always liked the comics. And before I started actually coming onto the Payload and the podcast with you guys, Jamiri, okay, you got really orange all of a sudden.
I know. The contrast just changed again. This is a problem we had before the show. I'm sorry.
Before I joined the actual podcast, it's funny because he's wearing a purple shirt too. before I joined the podcast, I actually had never even heard of the comics and I hadn't read any of them. And the first comic that came out, I think, was the Anna comic when I joined the podcast. And that was the first one I got to read. So I went back and I got to catch up on them and I realized how amazing they were and how much like story and behind these characters I was missing by not reading these comics. So if you aren't reading them, it's definitely worth it. They're not really super long. I think this one was kind of on the longer side of the comics, wasn't it? It seemed like it was longer than the others.
Yes, 100%.
And there was a lot more chatting going on, but it was really cool. And I think at the end, I think they kind of gave a nod towards Tracer's voice line, "The Cavalry's here," because when Tracer first showed up to go where Overwatch was sending them, Torbjorn looks at Tracer and goes, "Oh, guess the Cavalry's here." And she goes, "Wait, my name is, what is it, Oxton? Is that her last name? Isn't it O-X-T-O-N?
Lena Oxton.
Lena Oxton." And he's like, "Well," and then he kind of like grumbles something. And then it shows in the final clip where she gets on board and Torb kind of like looks at her and she goes, "Guess the Cavalry's here." And so it was kind of cool to see them tie that into from her line from the game. So I really enjoy these comics. They're super cute. I'm always excited when they get released and I'm excited to see where they keep going.
Yeah, I really liked, and to your point, Rosh, it was by far the longest that we've seen these comics be. At least it felt like it. Either it was there was dialogue every page, and so that's kind of what made it happen, or it was truly longer. But this is, oh man, just phantom noises everywhere. It was something where it's one of the first ones where I felt like we actually got a full story and I didn't leave asking a million questions. I didn't leave. Why did we watch that? Like the McCree comic and the Torbjorn comic especially were two that left me going, this was a cool little short story, but like what just happened and how does this relate to the rest of the world? And I thought it was amazing to see that. I love seeing that kind of end of the Overwatch era. Like for me, I think that that has to be one of the most interesting times from a game perspective, you know, about the whole world and how we can discover that. And so from the skins to like that Genji skin, yo, I want it. I want it really bad. I will play Genji nonstop. Season 5. I'm going to play Genji nonstop if they make that a skin. You heard it here first on the payload. John the Liar Horstman bringing that up. So,
oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. So,
we already have a couple of these skins in game. We have the Soldier 76 one and the Reyes one.
Right. Blackwatch Reyes. Yeah, we don't really have any other.
I feel like there's one similar for Anna, maybe?
Yeah, well, that's kind of her origin, or not her origin skin, but she's got her younger skin where she's in that. So I would say, yeah, I'd say that's close. I don't know if they release another one. But I think that, I mean, this ultimately, because the general consensus is that this is going to go into a PvE scenario that we think that we're going to see on April 11th. We got a teaser tweet at the beginning of this month saying, you know, hey, declassified information or classified information becomes declassified on April 11th. And we got that tweet, didn't really know what to make out of it. And then the comic either leaked early or...
Can you imagine maybe that's why they've been so quiet lately is they knew the comic was going to be leaked and now they've got to rush to figure out something else to release on the 11th. That would be so awful.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case though.
I think it's the event. I think the event gets leaked on the 11th. Jimmy, what do you think? Do you think that that's what happens on the 11th?
Probably with all the kind of chatter noise around it. Just in the sphere of social media, people seem to think all that it's going to do that. So that would be cool because I really liked the Junkenstein scenario for Halloween. I thought that was fun to get some kind of PvE horde style gameplay in Overwatch. So it's not just multiplayer 100% of the time. It was cool to see that, and they could do something really cool with this, really pushing the story, fleshing out the backstory of Overwatch. So it will be interesting to see. I'm excited to see what comes next week, though. That's some really good teasing by Blizzard, especially with the comic and how well done the comic was.
I think this is the longest between events that it's been, isn't it? After the New Year events. I mean, it hasn't been that long, but I mean, the Halloween event and then the December and then
between
the
summer,
summer and summer Halloween.
And yeah, you're right.
And then we got like three back to back to back. And I had to take on a third and fourth job. Thank you, Blizzard.
I almost ran out of loot boxes to keep in stock to trigger my stream because I had to go through opening so many to buy the skins that I wanted. So it was just,
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. This was really cool, but there's some really interesting story tidbits in all of this. We're at the point right now where, you know, the comic alludes to kind of the dissidence between Jack Morrison and Commander Reyes, right? Because Commander Reyes is like, hey, Jack, or other way around. Jack's like, hey, Reyes. McCree is here right now during the Omnic uprising. Is there anything you want to tell me about? And he's just kind of like, and it's turned into a meme. He's like, not my department kind of thing. Like, I can't, you know, there's nothing that pertains to this right now. Yeah. It's my new favorite meme. So like, that's kind of cool that they're alluding to that. And you've got that little kind of can we call it a love triangle? Between Reyes, Morrison, and Anna. Does it feel like that to you guys, or am I just reading way too much into it?
I think you're just reading too much.
Fine. That's fine. That's fine.
I think you just...
I just want all the Overwatch heroes to be happy, okay?
We all know Anna has the hots for Reinhardt anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Like they're totally their thing.
No way. No way.
Have you listened to their dialogue in game with each other?
They're just too sweet.
I think that's just too
foreign people.
Okay.
All right. I know I'm the one reading.
Bantering back and forth. We're all just creating like fan fictions with all the Overwatch going on. Like, this is now the part.
There could be a Tumblr blog about what we're talking about right now.
Google that.
So there's that going on. Then you've got this kind of cool side story thing where Morrison's kind of walking through the training facility and walks in on Mercy, Dr. Ziegler, and Winston, who are kind of overseeing their own kind of not monstrous creation, but their own creations, right? Genji is kind of Mercy's love interest. Not yet, probably not yet. But, you know, she's kind of gone about recreating them from the past. And then Winston is the reason why Tracer can stay in this dimension and kind of twist time a bit. And so, like, you've got all that kind of going on as well. I'm not going to lie. Everything else was really cool. I thought that was one of the coolest scenes. Because number one, that Genji skin, guys, I'm telling you, that Genji skin is amazing.
And has there been a skin in these comics that's looked really cool that hasn't been released? Haven't there been previous skins that we've seen in comics that have then been released? Or did we see any with the Halloween comic? We saw some with the Halloween, I'm trying to remember. Have there been any skins that we've seen come from the comics?
Yes, because Reinhardt in the comic was like a captain.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But then he ended up getting the Coldheart skin.
And then I think we saw the old armor for the Eichenwald either. Was it the clip, the video for Eichenwald that we saw his armor in? That was in a comic though, is it? I'm getting them all confused. I just don't even remember. Yeah. I think Reinhardt's skin, the grassy one with the leaves and stuff over him, I think that one came from a comic or a clip, but I can't remember which one it was. But it'll be really interesting to see if the Genji becomes a skin from this comic. We can all hope, I guess.
I don't think you put in something that cool into a comic and be like, meh, nah, no, we're good.
Yeah, I mean, you can't expect the player base to be like, eh, nah, we don't want that as a skin.
Right. And well, like, we also know, too, like, this is between when Genji had his incident and when he met Zenyatta. And so you can even see he's like just like a really ripped, angry dude. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I pictured Genji out of his armor, I pictured his damage or his skin a lot more damage from the comic. Of course, it's just a comic, so there wasn't really that much detail. It looked like he just had a bunch of scars over his body. I just expected a lot more damage to have been done to his body underneath the skin. So it's kind of. It kind of changed my perspective on what I pictured Genji looking like out of his armor.
Well, and I think it's just that now, right? It's just a lot of the reason why, like, his main skin is, like, all armor is because he's fighting in battle. It's armor.
Yeah.
But, like, in this current time in the Overwatch universe, they've just kind of fixed up the parts that needed to be fixed up, you know? And so I think that makes sense. Then you see Tracer. She's still figuring out her chronal accelerator a little bit. Like, she's flipped upside down shooting at Genji. And she's just like got big eyes. Like, what did I just do? But preparing for active duty. So that's good for Tracer. Best of luck to Lena. Hope she makes it. Wink. So you've got that going on. Torbjorn looks awesome in a baseball cap. I must say so. Like,
imagine
like
that's the skin we get out of this comic. Torbjorn in a baseball cap.
He'd make a good catcher.
Yeah, it's true.
For
he's
a baseball
like
team.
He's like the third base coach for like a intramural softball
for
team.
15 children.
Yeah, that's true. They make their own team and then some. So that's pretty cool. But there is some really cool story elements hidden in that's deeper than just that. During a couple of the scenes, Jack Morrison is in his office and he's got like this, like a entire wall of just screens. And almost all of it is just kind of looks like it's looking out on Overwatch news and the news around the world and what's going on. And one of the mission boards says Overwatch official murdered. Director Petrus orders full investigation into the Cairo incident. And this alludes to Gerard, right? Widowmaker's husband that she was kind of groomed to murder. Is that a fair assumption?
I believe so. That's a pretty good assumption.
Especially because of the timeline that this article was set being way back when, like what other Overwatch member have we heard of in the storyline so far that has been murdered or attacked like that?
Right. Yep. So, like that kind of seems, like that's kind of a big deal too. Did you guys catch any other kind of interesting, Easter eggs or any other notable things in this here before we continue to move on?
I don't think so. I don't think Blizzard really releases a lot of Easter eggs per comic, per clip, per anything that they release. But that is a pretty big one because it kind of hints at maybe what we'll see next. But they also did a lot of, you know, like gestures and stuff like that towards, you know, Tracer's line in the game and the relationships like Mercy and Genji. They showed a clip. Oh no, that was, never mind. That was the video that you put as super, super important for us to watch. There was the See, this is what happens. You put this dumb video in the notes and then I mix it up for a legitimate clip.
Yeah.
Please.
On a break dancing on Temple of Anubis is absolutely canon.
The best thing
clearly
ever.
Important. Yeah, clearly. I'm sorry. How did you word it? Really important news. Watch this first. Bolded and underlined. Yeah, clearly. This is what happens.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I don't think that there were many other Easter eggs. And if there were, Reddit will definitely find it and there will definitely be a thread about it.
Yeah, I've been like scouring that the kind of main thread every couple hours just to make sure we didn't miss anything or misinform on the show because we hate that. And that takes a lot of editing for me because we have to make a whole apology thing all about that. So cool. Well, if that's the case, then you guys want to move on a little bit?
Cool. Sure.
So we also had an couple of interviews with Jeff Kaplan. One was at the IB Times, and I can't remember who the other one was. I want to say it was Game Informer, but I would be lying if I felt like that was 100% accurate. But basically, it was a short interview with Jeff Kaplan, kind of talking about the current situation of the game, the current state of the game, how Orisa has been kind of making her way in, and how they feel like she's been succeeding overall. And of course, it was kind of PR-y. Yeah, she's going great. This is awesome. But we did get some new stuff. They asked about hero number 25. And what Jeff has said is that they're very far along in and farther along, coming along farther than we think. Their abilities are set, and how they interact with other heroes is also set. Art and aggressive playtesting are currently happening, but it's not safe to assume that it's a defense class. So one of the questions they asked is, hey, we haven't seen a defense hero yet. We saw a new support. We saw a new tank. We saw a new offensive hero. Time for a defense, right? Is that a safe assumption? And he's like, nah. We want you to stay on Bastion, please. So with all that information kind of going on, like, Jimmy, what do you take from this?
They're just playing a little coy, I think, just to throw us off it being a defensive class. I feel like that would make the most sense as far as at least the first round of new heroes as we go through, kind of fleshing out each role type. But I mean, this is all we have to go off of, and I guess I have to trust Jeff or prepare for death at this point.
What do you think, Rosh? Anything interesting?
There are no rules stating that Overwatch has to make a new character for each totally. Role. Like, there's no rules, it's no video gaming etiquette that says that if they wanted to make 5 new offensive heroes, they could have made 5 new offensive heroes. So it still is pretty likely that this character is not a defensive character. I think that it will be a defensive character. I think Kaplan was just kind of trying to get us off the tracks of he doesn't want anything to be absolutely for sure. And what other way is he supposed to address that question other than saying what he did? Because if he doesn't address the question, then people might say, oh, you know, he's ignoring this question because it's a defensive character and he doesn't want to come out and indefinitely say that it is. But at the same time, he can't say that it's not a defensive character. So I think it was a way of him kind of getting away with a win-win, kind of giving the information and trying not to give the information. So I think it was a wise move on his part. But personally, I do think it's going to be a defensive hero.
Got it. Okay. I'm really excited. You think he's doing the old bait and switch, right?
Yeah, I think he's trying to lead us off the scent of the trail.
Fair enough. I won't go into it. Can we go into esports here really quick? Does that sound cool?
Sure.
All right, let's go into esports. Rosh, you ready?
No. Esports news.
Boo. You know what, though? last week, you refused to even participate. So, yeah,
my logic behind this is now you'll never ask me to do it again. So,
oh, that's not true. I'm just going to bug you more.
Great. Great. We'll see.
It's not how I work. So, we've got a few pieces of esports news heading up. First and foremost, Lunatic High versus Runaway plays in the grand finals tonight if you're listening to this live. Or last night if you're catching it on the audio feeds or even later. So this is a culmination of almost 3 months of play, which is pretty cool. Lunatic High and Runaway. Did not necessarily think Runaway would make it this far. I don't think I'm the only one.
You're not. I didn't
know. No, you're not. Nope.
So we need to make some predictions here. Rosh, I want to hear yours first. I need you to.
That's cheating. I'm supposed to go off of Jimmy. I'm supposed to wait for him to answer.
That's why you and I go first. That's why you and I go first.
Well, you're not going first. You're not going. So what's
I'm not
going to
pick the same one that you are. I guarantee it.
Oh, okay. Well, Anytime I've ever picked Lunatic High to win a match or be favored in their matching, they've lost. So this week, I'm going with Runaway, even though I didn't even think they'd make it this far. I'm just throwing all to the wind, and I'm going with Runaway.
Okay.
And we'll see if I'm right.
So Rosh is guessing, just guessing, Runaway. I'm going to say Runaway as well. So,
oh man, now this puts me in an awkward position. That,
I'm right.
I'm going to say Runaway.
Hold
well,
on. No. You don't get to say yet. You don't get to say because we need to consult Jimmy Domus. All right. Now you may proceed.
Pressure. No pressure.
You may proceed.
Runaway will take Apex Season 2
4-2
over Lunatic High.
I want Lunatic High to win. It's just, I feel like I'm their unlucky charm. And every time I've voted on Lunatic High to win on this podcast, they've lost. So that's why I'm going for Runaway. But I do want Lunatic High to win. So in my feminine ways, either way, I will be right. So just throwing that out there.
If that helps you sleep at night, sure. Great. I'm 100% behind you. But that's not how things work. Hey, buddy. Hey. I got a visit from
He's
the Choji.
To a dog if you got were not
I got the visit from the Choji bear here. I don't know what he wants. What do you want?
He wants right. attention.
Good talk. Good talk.
Pay attention to me.
Right. Okay, so there we go. We're saying Runaway, and Jimmy says 4-2. I feel good about that split. I don't think we're going to split hairs here. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Alienware Monthly Melee coming up on April 14th, because this is a big one. Alienware Monthly Melee, we've talked about it in months past. It's kind of the biggest small tournament that you can get. It's basically what Alien Monthware is. And two groups again this week or this month, but there's only going to be six teams. In Group A, we have Selfless Gaming, NRG Esports, and Immortals. And in Group B, we've got Rogue, LG Evil, and Meta Athena. Meta Athena. Meta Athena. So
Meta Athena.
We have a Korean team again coming in. Runaway did not do so well in the March monthly melee. So you can make a strong argument that a lot of it has to do with server pings and that kind of stuff. But you also could say that there's just really good teams there too, and they just weren't totally ready for it. There's a lot of things that go on, time changes and all that stuff that can factor into that. But what we really need to talk about is NRG finally saying that they're going to be there. Jimmy Domus. Does NRG actually make an appearance at Overwatch Alienware Monthly Melee?
Do they actually? Yes.
Yeah, I think a pretty one to predict. I think it's pretty solid that they will show up.
Yes, they have to. Like, it would be disaster. Pretty bad for them to not show up for this. I'm looking at Liquipedia. Is this their correct roster? I don't know, but
as far as I've seen, they haven't added anybody since IDDQD. So,
okay,
do with that what you will.
According to Liquipedia, they added Harblu and Ajax on the 16th of March.
What? Did I miss that?
This is according to Liquipedia. It is also a wiki that anyone can edit, so it could be fake. For all we know, fake news. We don't want to report that on this show.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a big deal if they do.
But if that's the case,
yeah.
Let's see.
NRG, you guys saw this coming. We're excited to officially announce that Harblu and Ajax.
Yeah, there it is.
NRG.
Actually, Harblu and Ajax out of the friend zone and into our NRG. I wonder how I missed this. This must have been just in the.
It happens.
It happens. It happens. Anyway, so they have a roster. So they do. Bold prediction from Jimmy Domus. They will be there because their roster is full. The more important question, though, is with these new additions, do they have a chance, Raj?
I think that the reason that they have been taking so long and showing up for competitive tournament wise is probably because they're working on in-team synergy and they didn't want to go to a tournament before they were ready for to actually compete respectively with the other teams. So while we haven't seen them in so long and there's been so many ups and downs with energy and expectations and stuff, I want to say yes, but it's a very, very cautious yes that they will show up and make a splash in the scene. Do I think that they're going to win their bracket? Probably not, but I don't think they'll finish. Oh, actually, I don't know. It's so hard. The bracket, Group A bracket, again, if you didn't catch it on the first time, is Selfless Gaming, Energy Esports, and Immortals. That's a pretty stacked bracket.
That's a good bracket.
So I do think that they'll show up. I don't think they'll get 0-3'd or anything like that, but I don't think that they're going to take the bracket for themselves.
Okay, fair enough. So basically you're doing the exact same thing you did with Lunatic High. I want Lunatic High to win, but I don't think they will. So, you know,
If they do, then they do. If they don't, then I also call it. I'll take it a step more specific. I think it'll be Selfless, then Immortals, then Energy in the rankings for the first bracket.
Dang. Jimmy, what does the great sage Jimmy Domus have to say about this?
I think NRG gets out of this group. They're hungry for some Overwatch competition. I think they've been gone long enough that maybe they've leveled up a little bit. But I think Immortals will get out of this group as well. They've been really impressing me lately. So, that would be my two out of that group. Sure. I guess we're just discounting whoever gets out of the lower bracket.
Right. But here's the thing, though. Group B is kind of an amazing roster or kind of an amazing group of invites as well. Yeah. You've got Rogue, which since they moved to Vegas have virtually been unstoppable. You've got LG Evil, formerly Hammers Esports, which we all know how great they have been in the past. And I've been super high on them for a long time. We've got Meta Athena, which, I mean, they're a Korean team, right? They were just competing in Apex Season 2, and they did quite well.
They got a lot of experience from Apex Season 2 as well.
My concern, though, is the lag for them.
Yeah.
A little bit. Sure. That can be a thing, especially for a high paced.
They've got a good excuse like if they lose.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they win, NA doesn't have a very good excuse. Great. Back to that again. So who do you think gets out of this bracket? Who do you think outperforms the rest here? I'll go first because I've been passing it off. I'm going to say Rogue. I'm going to say Rogue does it. I think they're just so good. And so I think that they're going to end up taking that and they're going to get there. And honestly, I think that we see them in the grand finals next. Rosh.
I don't know. This one's so hard. I feel like this one's even harder than the first bracket.
It is.
I don't know. I loved Hammer Esports, and now that they're LG Evil, I want to immediately put my money on LG Evil. But I think that's more of my hopes speaking than my confidence in the team. I think that Meta Athena will probably give LG Evil a run for their money, just because Meta Athena had so much experience in the Apex Season 2 going against all those amazing teams. And they finished, what was it, fourth in Apex Season 2? So I think that Meta Athena has the edge on LG Evil 2, especially because Hammers Esports has switched coaching, which I think has affected LG Evil a little since then, since their games since LG Evil. So I think Meta Athena has the edge on LG Evil. And then Rogue and Meta Athena, I don't know. Like, I'm just going to go with Meta Athena. We're just going to go with Meta Athena. I think that they're going to win the bracket.
Okay, fair enough. Jimmy, where do you weigh in here?
Ah, geez, I hate to disagree with Rosh, but Meta Athena was looking really good here. I think they'll just show that the Koreans are completely dominant in Overwatch, and it's high time for NA to pack it up and leave forever.
And this isn't for another two or about a week and a couple days, right? So, they've got some time. There's lots that can change. But I think it'll be interesting. I'm pretty pretty positive in my pick of a rogue, though. So, that's it. Okay, hey, last thing before we get out of here, believe it or not. We've got some dev Bluepost stuff going on. Developers, and honestly, all it is developers have been oddly quiet this week. Outside of responding to bug reports, little has actually been said publicly. Mm-hmm. And the last post from any of the major developers, Jeff Goodman, Jeff Kaplan, Michael Chu, was responding to a bug that allowed Mercy to gain less SR than her teammates. And Rosh almost chokes on her water. And
no, because I could have been Grandmaster. If this bug wasn't in effect, I was 5 points away. Do you know how tilted I was? I didn't realize this was a thing until when I looked at the show notes. I had no idea that this was a bug. Do you know how much more tilted I would have been the night on my stream when I ended 5 points below Grandmaster? 100% if this bug wasn't in the game, I would be a GM right now. And that just, it ruined my entire week when I read this post. So they need to fix this ASAP. In the post, I think he said that they had fixed it, but people are still reporting bugs. So we're not really sure if it's completely fixed yet or if there's still some wonky stuff going on.
Yeah. So I'm expecting, usually when the dev team goes quiet, it's usually because there's something coming right around the corner, which you could argue is this stuff kind of coming in this first 2 weeks of April of the new comic. Potentially the new event, new skins and stuff like that coming out. So that hopefully is it. And we'll start seeing more of the developers on the podcast or on the podcast, talking about them on the podcast, but seeing them communicating more online and things like that. So that's it. Kind of a short week, Rosh.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a couple short weeks, but we've gotten a couple teasers here and then in the comic and with the April 11th teaser that they posted on Twitter and Facebook and all their social media sites. So I think that the next coming weeks will have a lot of news to talk about. So instead of it kind of evening out through the month, I think the reason they've been so quiet is because they're just working on all of this stuff to get released. And then it's just going to be an overload. And then one of these shows coming up is going to be like an hour and a half long of us just spewing information about all of these blue posts and dev posts and announcements and sneak peeks coming up. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. Hey, thank you all so much for hanging out for this shorter episode. And we did go long. There was a few episodes where we went pretty long as well, I remember. So, yeah. So it's pretty neat that we get to kind of get a short week in, you know, and kind of just rest our brains, which we try to do sometime. Now, I do want to say one thing, and it pertains to our PSA. Our PSA was, you know, mainly a joke of like, oops, we said something wrong, and we said it very boldly. And like some people are like, it's just John and Rosh, you know, kind of having fun doing their things. Some people were genuinely offended by it. We're sorry if we offended you. Play Orisa. If that's what makes you happy, do it. But there was a good reason for it. And we talked about it on our Twitter. We annotated everything within 3 hours of the show going live. So I hope you can forgive us. And I hope you can allow us to have a little fun in the way that we apologize. So... anyways, let's get out of here. And, first, you know what? Let's flip the script here a little bit. Let's go to iTunes reviews first.
Yes. iTunes reviews. 5 stars help us a ton. They help us so much as a growing podcast on a week to week basis, and they're incredibly easy to leave. Thank you this week to Gar Bennington for the review and for the fact that you have a super easy peasy name to pronounce.
Wait, what was his name? It.
Did I say it wrong?
Did you say wait. Bennington? Don't look. Don't look.
Oh, I did. Gary Bennington. I messed it up. Oh my God. The easiest name.
Thanks for having an easy name to
love you, softball.
You're like, I know. You gave me such an easy opportunity to have an easy week. And I guess I put it on my notes to announce it. Gary Bennington. Mr. Bennington himself from the wonderful, amazing UK. Thank you so much for the 5-star review. If you haven't left one yet and you would like to hear me butcher your name, apparently, you can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcast.
Awesome. Awesome. And what about what's going on in Patreon world, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, we have to thank our MVPs, Shadow, J.A., Coral, Tommy H., and Liam O. Thank you so very much for being our MVPs and helping make this show happen. If you'd like to be a part of the show and help show your support for the Payload, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast to find out everything that it is about, as well as all the rewards for helping out the show. We are still working towards our $200 merch store. So if you'd like to help us out with that, go on to patreon.com/payloadpodcast to see more details.
Awesome. And I did send out Patreon messages last night. So I typically do it the Wednesday after the first. So thanks for your patience on that. And Patreon messages should be out. And let's close it out. So first, email. Send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. And we'd love to read your questions, topics, ideas, and stuff like that on the show. So thepayload@blizzpro.com is where you can find us. And of course, tweet us as well at Payload Podcast. Shout outs for the week and where people can find you, Rosh.
You can find me at Twitter at F2K_OKIt'sRosh. You can also find me live on Twitch almost every single day. I typically do about a 5-hour stream. Sometimes we go 5 to 7 hours. My Twitch is twitch.tv/OKIt'sRosh.
Awesome. And Jimmy, what about you?
Yeah, same. Follow me on Twitch and Twitter at DJ Tyrant. And I've been streaming a little bit more here and there as well. I've been just in streaming a variety of Blizzard games. Did a bunch of Hearthstone stuff today because of Un'Goro coming out. So just follow and get notifications. I'm going to try to get a schedule going because I know that is one of the better things you can do as a streamer is have a consistent schedule. So that's what... That'll be my plan for next week.
Awesome. And as for me, you can find me at everything Kick Tripod, and especially twitch.tv/KickTripod is where you can find me every day except for Wednesday, starting at about 3 p.m. Mountain Time. And I'm streaming Overwatch there, streaming some Hearthstone. Rosh and I are multi-twitching a few times a week now, actually. 2 or 3 times a week. We're playing on our Rosh's Smurf, my main, that's what we'll call it.
And but if you're watching this channel live, we might be playing after this. I know I will be streaming, so I'll either be streaming on my Smurf, or if John is available after the show, we're going to be streaming together. So if you're watching this live, stay tuned. We might be doing that duo on our Smurfs together after the podcast.
And I think it's fairly likely that it's going to happen, despite the rave going on in the background of Rosh's microphone. whatever. So that's it. Twitch.tv/KickTripod if I didn't say that already. I'd love for you to follow and love to get to know you on my channel and everywhere else. That's going to do it for us for episode 63 of The Payload. Thank you, somebody, for correcting that. Probably Jimmy. And you can find more great Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. And we record live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. We already talked about Twitter. We already talked about everything else. That's going to do it. Thanks to Jake Butno for our music. And that's been episode 63. We see you next week.